you're glad you're saved, say amen. Amen. If you're glad you're in God's house this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Well, good. Let's take our Bible this morning and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16. Been wrestling with a couple of different areas in the Bible, and I like getting a word that'll help you. Thank you, Pastor. That helped me. That settled it. Luke chapter number 16. Very familiar scripture, starting with verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning, a needful preacher, Lord. God, I need your touch. God, I ask you to settle me, that, Lord, you just clear my mind of everything but what you'd have me to say, Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for this precious word we have the opportunity to open up and go into, God. I'm thankful I know who wrote it, Lord. I'm thankful I know the author and the finisher of my faith, Heavenly Father. God, there's no question about that, Lord, and I thank you for that, God. Thankful that this day and hour in which we live, I'm a child of the King, Lord. God, I just pray that you just touch your people today, Lord. Touch the teachers downstairs, help them. Lord, bless each heart, each home, Heavenly Father. And Lord, once again, be with my pastor as he stands this morning, Lord. Help him, Lord. Anoint him from on high. God, use him for your honor and your glory, Heavenly Father. We love you and we praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. The thought of my scripture comes from that verse number 24 where it says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And the thought of my message is this, the second beggar. The second beggar. You see, it's 2013. I know which day and which hour it is. I know we're living in a very modernistic day. I know there's things going on out there in the world that's never gone on before. I realize that. I'm not blind or unaware of these things. But God's not changed. He's always been God. He'll always be God. There's always been a heaven. There's always been a hell. And those places haven't changed either, but this old world has changed some things the way it does. See, that the acceptance of this old world has changed. This world accepts anything that's coming down the pike. I mean, anything that anybody says, anybody does, anybody wants, that's just fine, just go ahead and go do it. You know, but that's not right in God's eyes. I mean, these people stand up behind the buckboard and they'll tell anything. They say anything. They get on national television and rebuke the apostles. They get up and say that Christ is not the Messiah. And people follow them by throngs and droves. I don't understand that. But it's just the acceptance of this old world. The attitude of this world's changed too. Anything goes. It don't matter. Any way, shape, form, fashion, however you want it, just go out there. If you want it, you can go out there in the world and have it. Ain't nobody going to rebuke you. Ain't nobody going to say it's not right because it's just easy go along. Everybody get along together. Everything will be fine. And the actions of this world has changed. I know I've heard a lot here lately spoke about how the old saints, when they meet in them old one-room Baptist churches, and first thing in the morning, it'd sound like a mad hornet's nest. You'd have the women over here and the men over here, and they'd be crying out to God and calling out names and just be buzzing. I mean, just people crying and working their way to God. Well, we don't have much of that anymore. We don't have it where the house is full, so full they have to raise the windows and back the trucks up to them and stick their head inside. I can remember that as a small child. I'm just 57 years old, but I can remember those days when there would be a revival or a singing or something, and they would have to back the trucks up to the windows of that church and raise the windows and put chairs all down in the aisles. The choir would be full. People would be standing out in the vestibule. It'd be packed because people were hungry and wanted to hear the Word of God. But those actions have changed. We don't have that anymore. Nobody is expecting God. He's coming. This rich man found out real quick as to what's going to happen or what can happen. First of all, my first point is, as we see the person being tormented in verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, there was a certain rich man. In other words, God is no respecter of persons. It tells me that he was not only was he a certain rich man, but he was a respected person because he was clothed in purple. Purple was a sign of authority back in those days. Purple was a sign that he was somebody. That color that he wore, people looked up to him for things. God didn't look up to him for it because he died outside the will of God. Didn't matter that he had all the money. Didn't matter that he fared sumptuously every day, lived a life of luxury, fared real well. And we got people out there like that think that God's not going to touch them because of who and what they are. God doesn't care. God does not care. A lot of people think, well, I'm doing okay or I'm doing good or I'm all right because of the way I'm acting and the way I'm doing. You're going to have an attitude that's going to carry you straight to hell because you think that outside the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're going to enter into the gates of heaven. I mean, you can be the smoothest talker. You can have a gold tongue for all I care, for all God cares. But he won't send you to hell. A lot of people say, well, God won't send nobody to hell. They're half right. God won't send them to hell, but they'll go. Okay, but they'll go as an intruder because God did not create that place for us. That place was created for the devil and his angels. But this rich person didn't have any idea of that. He was just living his life going along from day to day to day. A lot like the world is today. It's all about me, me, myself, and I'm the only one out here. I can do what I want. And working in the public sector, trust me, I see that so very much. I see it so very much in my job that people think that they're the only ones out there. There's no respect. They don't care. There's no fear. See, and I'm sorry. When we started losing fear and respect, that's when we started going downhill. Because the Bible says if I won't respect my Father whom I can see, how am I going to respect my Heavenly Father who I am not seen? So the respect that should be passed down from daddy to son to daughter to generation got dropped somewhere. So therefore, there's no more respect and there's no more fear. The rich man didn't have any. If he'd had fear, he'd probably got right. Because, and y'all all heard my testimony before. I'm not going to go all through all that. But at the age of 13 years old, sitting on the back row of One Room Baptist Church, hearing a preacher stand up and preach about heaven and hell, scared me. And I tell you, I'm glad it scared me. You better hope a preacher scares your children or you into heaven. If not, you're going to die off in the devil's hell. Because I'm telling you, it takes the fear of God. Because I'm telling you, the fear of God is knowledge. That's what the Bible says. The fear of God is knowledge. The rich man had none of that. But not only was he a rich person and a respected person, but we also see there in verse 24, he was a repenting person. He said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. We see he did a whole lot more praying than Lazarus did. But he did all his praying just a little bit late. Just a little. These people that are out here and think that they can pay the priest or the pope or somebody thousands of dollars to have them pray a loved one out of hell, that's money that's not spent well at all. Because I don't care if you pass from this life to the next without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, hell will be your home. And a lot of people don't like to hear this. A lot of people don't want to hear this. A lot of people get upset when they hear this. But I'm just telling you right now, that's what God's laid on my heart. And I think there ought to be a whole lot more preaching about heaven and hell, because if we had more of that, then they had more realization of that. Because I'm like the preachers have said from days of old, I wish I could open up a hole in the floor right there that went straight down into the heart of hell. I don't believe anybody here would have to peer over in there. I believe the sounds and the stench from that place would convict every lost sinner in the house, and even those of us that are saved would fall on our face and crawl up to this altar, just crying and begging God for whatever we needed. I'm telling you, and because hell is still a real place this morning. A lot of people, it's just become a four-letter word that people just use at the drop of a hat. You know, it's not real. There ain't no such place as heaven. Ain't no such place as hell. Well, where do you think you're going to go when you die? Well, people say, well, I'm just going to die and that's going to be it. No. No. This easy believism, schisms of this world are driving people into hell by the throngs. And it just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Not only the person being tormented, but the place of torments. Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. It's a real place. It's a real place. You can look all through the New Testament where Christ is talking about. He talked a whole lot more about hell than he did heaven. He said it's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It was compared to a dump outside the walls of Jerusalem where they would take and throw their refuse and stuff into. And they'd burn it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if the wind got just right and brought the smell back up into the city, it was putrid, it was wretched. It stunk to high heaven, but they burned it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the Bible uses that a lot to try to explain what hell is. It's an awful place. It's a real place. It's a wretched place, as I was telling. Over there in the book of Mark, in several places, Christ said it's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And people say, well, I won't be the only one down there. You won't know. You won't care. Because it's going to be a place of outer darkness. Now, yes, fire is going to be there. There's going to be, I believe there's going to be a literal fire there. I believe it's going to be so hot. I believe it's going to be hotter than anything we've ever known here on this earth. It's going to be hotter than the core of the world. It's going to be hotter than the sun. It's going to be hotter than anything it ever has been. But it's not going to consume. It's not going to be a consuming fire. It's not going to be an illuminating fire. It's not going to be a fire where you can see anything. I believe you're going to be down there just and it's going to be so dark. Have you ever been to the caves, or you ever been on a tour in a cave, and they sit you in the very back of the cavern, and they tell you, all right, we're going to sit where you're at and don't move because we're going to turn off the lights. And they turn off the lights. It's darker than dark. You cannot see anything. That's how dark hell's going to be. If not darker, it's going to be darker than that. It's going to be so dark. And you're not going to care who's down there. You're not going to care who's your neighbor, who's right there beside you, because you're going to be in so much torment. You're going to be being tortured and hurting so bad that you're going to be the only one you're worried about. Sounds a lot like the way people are up here today. They're only worried about me, myself, and I. They only care about themselves, don't care about the others, don't tell anybody anything. I mean, just don't care about nobody but me. You know, it's all about me. It's a real place, it's a wretched place, and it's a regretful place. Verse 27 says, he's talking to Father Abraham across the gulf. He says, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst sendest him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He regretted the very instant he opened his eyes. He regretted being there. And I believe that if you die and go to hell, you're going to regret being there. And I believe part of that regret is going to be brought back to your mind and your memory every time somebody stood up here behind this desk and told you about the love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and the drawing of the Holy Ghost and the power of conviction and salvation and what it is and what it does. I believe that's going to come to your mind every time. And every time it does, you're going to regret you didn't act. You're going to regret that you did not heed to that call. You did not heed to that warning that was coming your way. Because there's a way out of all this. There's a way out of all this. Not only the person being tormented in the place of torments, but the permanence of the torments. You see, this is not just going to be something you're going to fall off into, be burned up, that's it. Have you ever stopped and tried to think about eternity? I mean, have you ever tried just stopped and thought Because God created time for us. Time means nothing to God. He created time. He divided darkness from light back in the beginning so that we could have some kind of sense of ability to do things. We'd get out in the day and work, and at night we'd sleep and rest. He did that. He did the seasons. We've got to change the season going on right now so we'd know when to plant, when to harvest. God did time for us because it means nothing to Him. But there's an eternity coming up one day that we're all going to step off into. And eternity is definitely too long to be wrong. The permanence or the torments. We see where he remembered the past in verse 25. Where he said, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. I bet he wasn't thinking about them right then. I bet he wasn't thinking about the times that he was sitting up there eating the best he could buy or wear the best clothes or have all the parties or live in his fancy house and sleep till noon or whatever he was doing. I bet he wasn't thinking about that right then. I bet he ain't thought about it yet. But he was told to remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. That little verse, that little part of that verse right there, art tormented, means now. It's constant, it's present, that's present tense. So right now, that rich man is still being tormented. See, and that's what a lot of people don't want. A lot of people think, well, it happened, that's too bad, and it's gone. Not true. It is still going on right now. And it'll go on for all eternity. I don't know what time period this was written for or how long ago it was, but that rich man's been in hell a long time. And he's got a longer time to go. My, you'd think that'd wake you up and make you realize that I don't want to die and go to hell. Because no matter what's going on up here, no matter how things are up here, this is temporary. This is not going to last forever. This is all going to go burn up and be done away with. And there's an eternity to be spent somewhere. He remembered his past, but he also realized his present. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. In other words, I kind of think he had heard about heaven and hell. I kind of think maybe somebody had shared a story with him or told him about it. And he had enough of a knowledge that when he opened his eyes, he didn't have to wonder where he was. He didn't have to stop and think, well, where is this place and how did I get here? The instant he opened his eyes, he knew. And if you're sitting out there today, lost and undone outside the will of God, you know. You know. Because we're all outside the age of accountability here. We're all adults. We all have the ability to make up our own minds. We all have that ability to have that free will choice. And I don't know why God laid this message on my heart this morning, but He did. I studied all week on something totally different and woke up this morning and this was just barking at me. Somebody needs to hear this. Maybe I needed to hear it remind me where He got me from. Maybe I need to hear it so I can say, thank you, Lord, I ain't got to go to that place this morning. Thank you, Lord, I'm going to heaven one great and glorious day and going to be with you forever and ever. I cannot go to hell. Boy, that's a wonderful thing to know that I cannot go. I cannot go to hell. I can take a flying leap on a broken corn stalk over the gaping mouth of hell, spit in the devil's face, and he can't touch me because I belong to the King this morning. And that's a peace that I have. Not only did he remember the past and he realized the present, but he was regretting his future. Because he saw that great gulf that was fixed. He saw that area that he couldn't cross. And Abraham even told him, said, there can't nobody come over there, and there can't nobody from over there come over here. So he realized he was stuck there forever. But there is a way out. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. In verse number 11. Like I said, I'm not reading anything. There's no new revelations or there's no... This is all very familiar to y'all. And I know I'm not preaching anything that y'all haven't heard. Verse number 11 of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And I saw a great white throne. I pray that nobody in this building sees the great white throne. Because if you do, it's going to be dreadful. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book. That one little letter is what's going to divide the difference between going to hell and going to heaven. There's one book of life, but there are many books of works. That one little letter, if your name is in that book, heaven's your home. But you'll not get there except by the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm sure that rich man, I don't know if this was probably taking place before the crucifixion, but I'm sure he had heard about all those saints and how they were supposed to go do their sacrifices and do everything and believe in God. And they would go to that place called purgatory, which is no more, because when Christ died, He went into the earth and took captivity captive. Purgatory was done away with. There's no more of that anymore. Thank you, Lord. But since Calvary, our names are recorded in a wonderful place called heaven. The devil can't take them out of there. No man can go up there and take it out. Nothing can happen. Nothing can keep me from going to heaven. See, a while ago I told you I cannot go to hell. There's no way. And I got to go to heaven. Got to.
Headed there.
Going there. Can't stop me from going. The earth, the ground, the grave's not going to hold me if the Lord tarries His coming and I go to the grave. And if He comes back before then, I just say, hallelujah, glory to God, let's go. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and was conceived and born of a virgin. He grew up and walked this earth 33 and a half years. He was persecuted. He was rejected. He was denied. I don't care what John Hagee says. He is the Messiah. He was rejected by His people. The Bible says He came into His own and His own knew Him not. And what Peter, Paul, and John wrote down in the books of this New Testament, I believe every jot and tittle, every semicolon, comma, dot, cross, I believe it all. I don't care what Smiley says. And that Bible tells me there's a way to get out of that place so I don't have to be a second beggar. Because I guarantee you right now this morning, he's still crying to get out of that place called hell. He's still saying, God, relieve me from these torments. Still having Lazarus go dip his finger to come cool my tongue. He's still in torments. He's still being tormented. And he's going to be there from now throughout all eternity. Because you see, there was prayers from torment. In verse 24 he said, and he cried. In verse 27 he said, I pray. We as children of God and as lost sinners can cry out a sinner's prayer and God hears our cries. Preacher, do you believe God hears the cries out of hell? No. I don't. I don't believe God hears them. Because God has separated Himself completely and entirely from you. I don't know, out of all the millions and billions and trillions, I don't know how many people are in hell. I ain't got a clue. But I'll bet you every one of them is crying to get out. I bet every one of them is crying that they wish to God they had one more chance. That they wish to God that somebody would tell them just one more time. That somebody would tell them that Jesus loves them. That He died for them. And that He wants to save their soul. Give them a home in heaven. And to be one of His. If you're lost this morning, I just ask you to get right with God. That's my most earnest and sincere prayer this morning, is that if you're lost and dying and on your way to a devil's hell, please, 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 get right before the time's too late. Get right before you walk out these doors. Get right before He comes. And that could happen anytime. I'm done, preacher. You can be dismissed in a few minutes.